Basketball and hockey are North American inventions, games that can be short, nasty, and brutish, as well as elegant and intricate. But in England, cricket still rules. It's one of the soundtracks of the English summer.
Here comes Abdul Razak from the nursery end and finds the thick edge of Triscothic, and he's out. The first wicket falls, a good low catch by, was it Azhar Mahmood, I think, at a wide third slip. And I think also that he had been moved there. There was a big gap between second and third slip.
The sport now enjoys millions of fans and outstanding teams in countries as diverse as India, South Africa, Pakistan, and New Zealand. But it is still considered quintessentially English, a stately-paced game marked by sportsmanlike conduct. But this week, the game long associated with fair play and gentlemanly behavior was cast into scandal. An international commission of inquiry headed by the former head of Scotland Yard, Lord Condon, said it's found evidence of practices within the game that were, well, just not cricket. So joining us now from Nottingham is Nick Harris, sports news correspondent of the Independent newspaper. Mr. Harris, thanks for being with us.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
And what kind of wrongdoing?
We are talking about systematic fixing of matches on a global scale. We're also talking about possible links to organized crime, murder, kidnapping, intimidation, and even suggestions of drug smuggling. We're not talking peanuts. We're talking about huge corruption on a massive scale going back many, many years.
Money's involved? Lots of money?
Hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds. Estimates suggest that the outcome of a single game could be as high as $1 billion in the most extreme cases. Obviously, you talk about huge amounts of money when organized crime is involved, and that's what this is.
Well-known players, umpires?
Last year, South Africa's captain, Hansi Cronje, was banned for life, having admitted involvement in match-fixing. India's captain, cricket's a religion. It wouldn't be too extreme to say cricket is a religion in India. And the national team captain, Mohammad Azharuddin, was banned for life. The Pakistan national captain, Salim Malik, banned for life. We're talking about involvement or potential involvement not only with cricketers but officials who have been implicated in corrupt selling of TV deals. We're talking about groundsmen who prepare the pitches in a particular way or interfere or tamper with the pitches. We're talking about players passing on match conditions and weather information to bookmakers, as well as flagrant abuse such as underperforming deliberately to fix a match.
How could this be so widespread in what is still considered the gentleman's game?
That's the question that everyone is asking. The game is run by an archaic amateur institution, the International Cricket Council, who prefer to sweep under the carpet rather than face up to the reality. And until they told Lord Condon to go and investigate, no one really wanted to face up to it, because once you face up to it, you've got to deal with it. I mean, it's the same as drugs in sport, for example. If a proper investigation was ever launched by the authorities of World Athletics to try and uncover it, goodness knows what they'd uncover.
Is a great international cricket star like Salim Malik of Pakistan paid near what a great international soccer player is or basketball player?
Is he paid the same? No, significantly less. And that's one of the reasons that Lord Condon has identified this is going on so much. International cricket players as a whole are badly paid by English soccer standards and certainly by American sports standards. We're only talking about tens of thousands of dollars a year rather than hundreds of thousands or millions. A number of players, particularly from the poorer countries, aren't even paid that well. There's often no contract. So the fact that the players aren't remunerated well in the first place is identified as one reason they might become involved.
So gamblers are making a lot of money on it, and it becomes irresistible for a poorly paid cricket player, perhaps, to say, all right, I'll swing and miss, or all right, I'll stumble.
Exactly.
Mr. Harris, I think of almost the most famous cricket match of all time being the one between India and Pakistan while the two nations were at war over Kashmir. And the story was that the war was suspended for the length of that cricket match, and both sides, you could hear them cheering from their respective foxholes. Anything wrong with that match?
Well, that match is one of the ones under scrutiny. You're right to say it was, cricket. It illustrates how important cricket is in South Asia. You can just imagine in the war rooms of the cabinets of those two countries, and they're saying, well, you know, shall we press the button now? Shall we send in the tanks? And then someone will say, oh, the cricket started in Manchester. You can imagine that everyone would say, well, look, let's call the war off for 12 hours while we sit down and watch the match. That's how significant it is in those nations. And yes, that's one under scrutiny.
Mr. Harris, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nick Harris is the sports news correspondent for the British newspaper, The Independent.